about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't really finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. This creates an experience that I think for most people is similar to, you know, middle school dating.
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of being starstruck.
There are a certain number of people who try to approach celebrities and they want a picture or whatever. But there's also this kind of group of people who just stand at a distance, at a safe distance, and gawk. We've talked on the show before about this difference between approach motivation and avoidance motivation. Approach motivation, there's this desirable thing that you'd like to achieve. Avoidance motivation, this undesirable thing you'd like to avoid. And it's been known since the 1950s. This guy, Neil Miller, did this stuff on what's called goal gradients, which is how strongly does the strength of a goal go up as you get closer to the goal?
Physically closer.
When he did the work, it was physically because he was doing it with rats. But you could do it closer in time. It works that way as well. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about physically closer in this case. So here we've got the goal is this celebrity who's there. Now, celebrities have both approach and avoidance concerns. The approach concern, it's a celebrity. How awesome. The avoidance concern, I might do something that makes me look like an idiot. Okay? Now,
For some of us, very high likelihood to do it.
Now, what we know is that the strength of that goal goes up as you get closer to the goal. But what's interesting, and this is the stuff that Neil Miller discovered, is that the strength of the avoidance goals goes up faster than the strength of the approach goals, which means from a distance, it's, oh my God, that's, you know, celebrity. Got it. Let's go. And as you get closer and closer, in this case physically, you get an increase in both kinds of goals, but the avoidance goals get stronger faster. And at some point you're like,
what am I going to say?
Exactly. This is going to be awful. And so that safe distance that you find, that's the distance at which the two lines cross, basically, that equate the approach and avoidance.
Beautifully
and,
put.
And so now you stay at that distance because any closer and you're in the danger zone, but any further away and you get curious, you got to get closer again. I think, you know, one of the things that you often hear from people who encounter, you know, a movie star in out of context or something, you know, they talk about, well, what a nice person they were. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, they're just another human being, right? Who you end up engaging with in some way. And it's not that, you know, there isn't an ulterior motive here. There isn't some evaluation going on. There isn't some power differential. And so you have what is actually a normal human experience that you would have with a peer. But it's unexpected because you actually have cast a frame on this in which you differ in this hierarchy.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out is that we're not equating status with worth, right? Not with human
You're not.
Value. Yes, exactly. That certainly there are all kinds of reasons where someone could attain a high level of status, not always because they're a wonderful human being or they've made an important contribution or whatever. One would expect who's not in the celebrity role in a human encounter would imagine that the other person's in the celebrity role because they have some special sauce that you don't have, right? So there's some special thing that they have that you lack. And that just contributes to the idea that we must be totally different from each other. And then when you talk to somebody, you might, well, you know, like the saying goes, they put their pants on one leg at a time and all that kind of thing. Pardon the gender reference. But I mean, that kind of thing just ends up being a surprise because then why are you a celebrity and I'm just a regular schmo who's just schlepping around with everybody else?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the fact is, right, I mean, television and videos and movies and things like that are funny in the sense that they create an experience that from an evolutionary standpoint, you couldn't have unless you were next to somebody.
Exactly.
And so, you know, now you have these people, particularly with movies and television, with actors, where you get extended experience with them visually, but also emotionally.
Yeah.
This extended experience that is purely one-sided.
And sometimes and in very intimate settings.
That's right.
Right?
That's correct.
I mean, it's not like you've just seen this person walking down the street. You've seen this person get upset and be moved and cry right. and make love and yeah. all that kind of stuff. Of course I know this person.
Yeah. But then, you know, when we think about the psychological reaction you have in that situation, it's really fascinating because it creates stress. Let's think about what stress does. So stress narrows your focus of attention. It makes it decreases your working memory capacity, and it creates a lot of energy. So what does this mean? Well, it means you're not going to be able to make particularly good complex decisions, okay? And you've got a lot of energy, so you're going to talk real fast.
And giggle a lot.
And giggle a lot. So you're going to say a lot without saying anything.
Yeah.
And then feel really bad about it later. So you know, you now get people who end up choking under pressure, basically, when encountering a celebrity. And so, this creates an experience that I think for most people is similar to, you know, middle school dating.
Yeah.
Really, right? Where... you know, you're so overwhelmed by the energy of the moment and the fear of screwing up that you end up blowing the interaction.
Exactly. And part of what creates the trepidation about this is not being clear about what the expectation is about what's supposed to happen, right? Because yeah. if you're used to meeting people who you've never seen before, and you have a routine that you go through, and you offer to shake their hand usually, and you introduce yourself and you say your name. But again, there's this disproportionate amount of information that you have about the celebrity that the celebrity obviously doesn't have about you. So now my expectation about what's supposed to happen, I don't have a routine for this because this happens so infrequently. I'm not practiced at this kind of interaction.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. We don't have a particularly good script for this.
Yeah.
You know, except to just quickly shake someone's hand, say one thing and walk away.
Yeah.
Right. There isn't really a routine for how that interaction is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of breathing with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.